Hi, and welcome to today's podcast on getting the most from your wealth screening. My name is Helen Brown, and I'm the president of the Helen Brown Group, which is a full-service prospect development company based in Watertown, which is just 7 miles up the Charles River from beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. Here at Helen Brown Group, we talk a lot about wealth screenings and how important it is to squeeze every last penny out of them. There's so much more that people can do. And so as we were sitting around talking about that at our last staff meeting, I thought that a podcast would be a great way to share our ideas with you. So I'm joined by three wealth screening and data analytics experts on my team, Maureen Kilcommons, HBG's Director of Research and Consulting, and senior researchers Tara McMullen and Heather Willis. You've had a good chance to get to know my voice so far, but I want you to be able to tell who else is talking. So Maureen, if you could tell me what the funniest thing was that you ever found through a wealth screening.
I think it would have to do with the importance of the validation process, because in looking at your prospects, they look great on paper, but as you dig deeper, things change. And I've often told clients about a real scenario where this one prospect looked fantastic on paper, and when I was finished, he owned a fish market and lived with his parents.
So Tara, what's the best thing about wealth screenings?
I think in my experience, one of the best parts of doing a wealth screening is the opportunity for research to collaborate with other departments like major gifts, IT, advancement services, and to really feel like you can establish pretty strong partnerships through your work on such a large project, as many wealth screenings can be. I think it offers a nice way for research to sort of, get out of the quote-unquote back office and really partner with frontline fundraisers, and everyone can be equally excited about the information that's uncovered.
Thanks. And Heather, what's the best thing about wealth screenings to you?
I think one of the best things is to see the reaction of the fundraisers and other folks who are involved when the screening results come back, and you see that there are millions, if not billions of dollars in assets that have been uncovered. And I think people get really excited about that, and it kind of kicks off the whole project, and it keeps the momentum going.
Well, speaking of kicking things off, thanks for letting everybody hear your voices and get to know you. And now let's kick it off and get to some of the meat of the questions that we were all chatting about. And the first thing that we all talked about was important factors that people need to consider before they get started on a wealth screening. So I wonder, Maureen, if you could start us off.
Sure. When I think about wealth screenings, I think the most important thing you have to focus on is what is your ultimate goal for the screening. People have different ideas about what the outcome will do for them. So are you looking to identify new donors? Are you looking to find out about the capacity of your existing segments within your prospect pool? You really want to have a plan for that, because otherwise you'll end up with too much information and then it clouds the impact of the project that you're doing. Other things to think about is your database in its best possible shape to get good results? Do an NCOA update if you haven't done one in a while. Are there other hygiene projects that you can do? They say good information in is good information out. Also would say...
Now, I have a question. Wait
sure.
a second. Can I just stop you quickly? Because you said NCOA. Can you talk a little bit more about what that is?
Oh, sure. National Change of Address.
Mm-hmm.
It is a service. If you're doing mailings regularly, your mail house should be doing this for you, but it is a standardization process for your database. So if you have missing information, it will fill in the proper ZIP+4. It will standardize if you have something incorrect, if you have circle and it's really drive. It will identify that, and it can correct. And it's a great way just to do general updates throughout the year, but especially with a screening, because so much is tied to that home address.
Great. Thanks. What else?
I think probably the other thing that I think is really important to consider is the value of the information that you already have. When you work with the vendor, they're going to tell you what fields that they'd like to see, but the more you put into it, the more you can use in the back end. So even if it doesn't have weight for what someone's asset base comes back to, by including information like class year or volunteer positions or your internal ratings or any of those types of things, when you get all your information back, you can look at it with a bigger context. And so having the ability to sort a file that says, show me everyone who's a volunteer who had returned assets of $10 million or more, that's a very different group. So it's important to include your own internal information, even if it's not going to influence the wealth screening results.
All right. I think, you know, for me, something that's really important, having been through a number of screenings myself, is from the get-go to make sure that all staff members and departments that are going to be impacted by the screening, either by, you know, the sort of initial work or by the results after they're implemented, really has a seat at the proverbial table during all planning and implementation discussions. You really want to get input from everyone and make sure that you have a clear-cut understanding of what everyone's needs and goals are before you take on a project of any considerable size. And I think sort of to speak to that, it's helpful to, you know, in those initial meetings to draft really kind of a scope of work and a project timeline. So think about, you know, what's your budget? What are you looking to achieve through the screening? What are everyone's roles going to be? These, you know, staff members, departments, who's going to sort of do what? Is there going to be one particular designated project leader? Is it going to be something that maybe is co-led by multiple departments? And sort of think about timeline and, you know, is the sort of overall timeline that you propose for either the overall project or for various stages, is this feasible? Is it realistic? And is there sort of some room to move around and have a certain amount of flexibility as you know, certain challenges may come up. I also think it's a good thing to sort of do your homework, to look at the various vendors and, you know, companies that are out there if you're doing something, you know, not in-house, and speak with other, you know, other research shops or other development operations who have actually used those companies, who have used those products. Sort of shop around before you're committing. You know, some companies will sort of allow you to maybe send out a couple of sample names and to sort of give you an idea of what you can expect, you know, ultimately. I just think it's good to sort of compare and contrast and make sure that, you know, you're spending your money on something that's going to be really worthwhile for you.
Thanks, Tara. How about you, Heather? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and to add to that, I would say that you need to think about incorporating your screening results and the ratings that you get into your current database once you get the results back. You know, what information are you going to upload into your database and when are you going to do it? Of course, you're going to want to make sure that the information is validated before you put it into your database. You don't want junk in there cluttering things up. And you want to also consider, is your database even user-friendly enough to do this? Some databases will take a lot of upfront work from your IT department to make this happen, and maybe you just want to leave the results where they are and how they were returned to you and not mess with that. Also think about maybe your prospect management system if you have one in place, which is, it's not a necessary thing, but how will you use the screening results and ratings with other codes that may already be in your database to help you decide who your best prospects are, and you would want to include your prospect management team when deciding what are the best screening ratings that you want to use. You also, one of the biggest things is make sure you have enough human resources and time on both ends of the project in order to complete it in a timely fashion and efficient way. You know, IT is going to be very helpful with your database. They're going to know the technical things behind the database. Your prospect management team will be important with ratings and what information is going to help them move prospects through the pipeline. Your fundraisers will help you with priorities and the fundraising priorities that are out there. And then, of course, your prospect research team is going to be the ones who have the overall vision for the project, but we'll also be validating all of that information. So you want to make sure everybody is on board and has enough time to complete the project. And then maybe also think about, is this going to be a one-time screening that you're going to do? Do you want to do it yearly, every 5 years? Some even clients and organizations will do monthly screenings or even daily screenings if they're hospitals, which they'll screen every patient that comes through the door every day and get that information back. So that's something that you want to keep in mind throughout the process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other thing that you need to think about, too, is I would think how many fundraisers that you have that are going to be able to deal with the information. If you're thinking about doing a screening in your small organization and you only have one fundraiser, then maybe getting results back that, you know, are the top 5,000 of your best prospects or even the top 500 of your best prospects, one fundraiser might not be able to handle that. So just to think what makes sense on the back end that you'll be able to handle to be the number of people that you get screened on the front end or just the number of people that you want to have returned in a screening. So once those decisions are made, once you've sort of gotten ready for a screening, what are some of the pitfalls that organization should avoid? What do you think, Heather?
Well, so that ties into what you were just talking about, the number of fundraisers you have and whether or not you can utilize all this information once you get it back, because the data becomes out of date very quickly. For example, stock holdings are going to immediately start changing as, you know, the stock market changes every day and shareholders may buy or sell stocks or have options that they can exercise. You know, your prospects are obviously getting older every day. Real estate can change very quickly. So really it's important to have all your teams ready to go as soon as the results come back and utilize the data as soon as you can and not overwhelm yourself. But my recommendation is you should probably use your data within a year, if not sooner.
You agree, Tara?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's also sort of it ties in nicely to what I want to say is I think that once, you know, you get the screening results, I think you also, it's very, very easy to get everyone extremely, extremely excited about what they found. And I think that's wonderful. But I also think that some expectations need to be managed a little bit. I think you really want to try to sort of carefully consider what data points and sort of overall analyses you're going to communicate to some of the fundraising staff before you have the chance, you know, research or IT to actually go through and sort of validate and verify some of the information that's there, which is a crucial component of it. I think, you know, it's important just to understand that the wealth screening data is just that. It's data. It's not contextualized. It is a tool, and it's an extremely useful one, but it really shouldn't be seen as completely the end-all be-all in terms of, you know, prospecting. You know, wealth screening can definitely uncover some wealth indicators for many, many folks, but it's also kind of important to keep in mind that, you know, there's a lot of rich people out there who have hidden assets, and they may just not have a lot of information returned through a screening. However, you know, that doesn't mean that the screening process is flawed or that the data is invalid. It's just something to keep in mind that there's going to be people who are going to slip through the cracks who may be wealthy and they just may not have a lot of visible assets.
Just something to add.
Yeah, I think that that's it's really important to remember that it is just a piece of data, and that it really does need somebody on the back end to be able to take a look at it and help, as you say, contextualize it.
And then the themes I keep hearing, I noticed just, you know, there's two basic concepts we keep coming back to. You know, don't bite off more than you can chew. The scope of your project is really going to impact how helpful the information is that comes back to you. If you go too big, then you won't be able to use the data effectively. You won't have the staff to do anything with these great prospects that you uncover. You won't have the IT support to do anything with the information. So really just keep everything in scope. And then, you know, the other thing I keep hearing from all of this is that, and what I've experienced with other clients, is that no piece of data is too small at the beginning part of your process. You know, you want to get this data out to the vendor, and you might be working with limited resources, but if you do something like leave off someone's suffix, that can make a huge difference when you're trying to validate the results. Or if you don't include the person's middle name when you submit the file, then you get all this great information back, and you spin your wheels, and you spend all this time trying to validate something that could have been so easily verified if you had that middle name right in front of you. So what you put into it really does make a big difference into what you get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes a lot of sense when you consider that you've got people who are juniors and thirds, mm-hmm. or just people with even a common name.
Yeah.
The more that you can do that helps narrow down to the exact person that you're looking for, I think is incredibly important. Yeah, it's great. And, you know, they always say garbage in, garbage out, too. So the more that you can make sure that you're sending the right and up-to-date information, too, as you pointed out before with
right.
with the national change of address information, you want to make sure that you're matching on the most up-to-date information as possible. Okay, so let's talk about the returned results now. So once an organization has all of this great information, now what? Because a lot of times it comes in a huge, big data dump. So, you know, can they just do something with it right away? Or, you know, what are the next steps? What should an organization do when all that data comes in?
Well, it's so much easier now than it used to be. You know, we often laugh about well screenings, you know, back in the day when you would get mm-hmm. this, you know, 6-inch binder that ultimately became a doorstop
yeah.
and did nothing more for your organization than make you feel overwhelmed. So, you know, things really have changed. But in the same vein, because things have changed, if your vendor's offering you services and training, make sure someone takes them. Don't delay. Don't assume that you know how it all works, because there could be a new version of the product that your vendor is using. So if they're offering you help, take it. They really know what they're doing, and they'll be able to help you. And if you put it off, and if you put it off, and you put it off, then it just won't happen. So if they're offering you help, take the help. The other thing that I find that's so important, and something I share with my clients, is knowing what those fields mean when it's delivered is priceless. And one of the things I give people when we work with them on a screening is I give them basically it's a definition sheet. It's a cheat sheet that says, this is what this field means, and this is some of the sources where that information might have come from, because then it gives them context, and it can help you in the validation process to know all of those things, and can save you a lot of time and make it seem less daunting. If you know where something came from, then you can understand it better.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Heather?
Yeah, so that ties into what I was thinking about is, you know, once you understand what you're actually looking at, you want to make sure you understand what you're actually looking at before you start validating the results, because I think that is going to be your next step. You need to determine whether or not the information that is tied to that name is actually their assets or not. And, of course, as we talked about before, the common names are, for obvious reasons, going to have more false positives than others, but you will need to start validating those results. And you want to segment your results into manageable groups once you start the validation process. You don't want to have to just dive in and take, say, all 5,000 results and start working through them one by one all at once. Involve your fundraisers, figure out where maybe some of the fundraising priorities are, and maybe that will help you determine which segment to start with first. Maybe you're in a campaign, and maybe you are ready to just start with the people who have the most assets, or maybe you have a project going on the West Coast and you want to segment that way. But take a manageable number that you can get through fairly quickly and easily so that you can farm out the information right away and keep the momentum of the screening project going. And I would say, you know, you won't want to spend more than probably 15 minutes per name and hopefully less than that to validate your results. Just try not to spend too much name on each name, or else you will probably not get through it.
Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, you really want to, you know, with your time that you're spending validating all of this information and going through, you really want to do due diligence with utilizing the data. You know, not only does a well screening provide you with, you know, the obvious, maybe lots of new prospects, there's also a lot of ways that you can use the results to, you know, inform prospect assignment strategies. You can segment, you know, as Heather said, you know, segment prospects into groups, maybe geographic, other things like that. You can use it for event planning, looking at marketing and sort of outreach strategies. There's a lot of different ways that you can utilize the information to really get the most impact from the project. And sort of to speak to that, I think it's also important to, you know, come up with some strategic ways to report on the success and the progress of the project once the results are validated and returned. I think, you know, for example, if you're using this well screening as, you know, a way to find new prospects and you're using it for prospect assignment and cultivation, figure out ways to sort of track those prospects that came from the screening and that maybe are being assigned out. You know, how many prospects were identified? How many were assigned out? You know, how many were actually contacted? Did any of them make a gift? You know, sort of what were the results? And I think this can be useful information to, you know, to sort of to put together and to use to demonstrate the overall sort of return on the investment of this project. And I think, you know, this can also be very useful if you are contemplating doing another screening, you know, in the next year, 5 years, you know, 6 months, I think to really to be able to potentially prove to, you know, senior management that this was a really good use of time and resources. And I think, you know, there's a lot of other ways to combine the data and the results that you get through the well screening with other information in your database, like giving information, that can be used to not only look at, you know, prospect ratings and assets and things like that that are going to be returned through the well screening, but really to use the information you have, you know, who has attended events, how much have they given, the sort of the recency of their giving, the frequency, that can be used to sort of come up with more inclination and affinity ratings to provide a more holistic way of looking at your prospect pool. So not just their capacity, but, you know, inclination and affinity as well.
So this sounds like we're getting into a little bit of analytics.
A little bit, yep.
Of analytics stuff here. I mean, and analytics is definitely on everybody's minds these days. It's something that a lot of people are doing along with well screenings as well. Or, you know, instead of a well screening, maybe doing internal data mining and modeling or combining those sorts of techniques with a well screening. So, since analytics is on everybody's minds these days, how would a well screening be used strategically on this front?
Well, I mean, I kind of just touched on that a little bit, so that's kind of a nice segue. I think, you know, well screenings, like I said, they can uncover some wealth indicators, and they'll give you a sense, you know, of general prospect capacity and maybe general philanthropic interest, but they don't speak to that prospect's affinity for your organization. It doesn't really give you any indication of, you know, the probability that that prospect will actually make a gift. I mean, just because someone is rich doesn't necessarily mean that they're generous in their general giving, and certainly doesn't always indicate if they're going to be generous to you. So I think, you know, statistical modeling, either in-house or, you know, using an outside company can sort of, you know, serve as a complementary component to a well screening, sort of as a part of an overall comprehensive prospect screening rather than just a well screening. You know, thinking about analytics, you can take, as I sort of said, your in-house constituent and transactional data, combine it with the wealth and asset information that you get through a well screening, and then put that all together and use that to build some really powerful models to help predict, you know, future giving behavior of your prospects and to try to identify, you know, major opportunities for major giving.
Yeah, and as far as that goes, I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe boost everybody's confidence in this arena, because our profession has evolved so much in a very short number of years. We started with just needing a basic research in a profile, And now as organizations have grown and grown and there's been more competition out there, we've added many more tools to just try to stay on top, you know, prospect management and well screenings. And now we are talking about, you know, modeling and analytics and all this data. And I think it can become very overwhelming to a lot of organizations. And there's, you know, they just think there's not enough resources and time. But my suggestion there is to just start small and keep projects simple. And maybe you can come out with a success on the end and grow your analytics projects in-house just by starting small. You don't need the expensive tools just yet. You can simply start with an Excel spreadsheet and create some good modeling projects.
You can also build on what you have. There are so many options when working with vendors these days that if you're going into a well screening, you can take that as an opportunity to make your database more robust, especially if you're looking down the line and thinking, well, analytics is something we'd like to do, but maybe we don't have enough information to make it worth our while. You can purchase an age append, which would give you more data to work with if you were doing a planned giving donor model. You can purchase employer information if you want to get better compensation results from your well screening. And even, you know, gender can be added if you don't have that. And that's another data point that you could use for a bigger analytics project, or even as Heather said, you could use it on your own if you're doing, you know, filtering and sorting your results in Excel. You can really draw some great conclusions and help narrow your focus. It's a big wide pool, but if you put in some characteristics that you're looking for, then you can find a way to get more of a laser focus. And we do that with clients all the time. You know, we get their return data and they're needing some help in finding patterns and developing models, and that's something we can help them do. And we see it all the time. You know, a well screening can be as big or as focused as you need it to be. And it's at all different levels and all sorts of budgets. And, you know, we find with our clients that no two well screenings are ever the same, not in scope or in impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, one of the things that I've been hearing from you guys is the importance of planning in the beginning and just making sure that you've got a plan in place and that you're ready for all this information that's coming at you. And then not even just on the beginning side, but having a plan for what you're going to do with it. But then once all the data is back, then knowing what you're going to do with it so that the frontline fundraisers have a plan for how they're going to move along from there. And then on the back end, thinking about the analytics that you can do that not only look and help model the donors maybe or help you identify new prospective donors, but also to do the analytics of the project itself on the back end to say, mm-hmm. okay, what was the return on investment for this?
Yep.
Did it make sense for us? Did we, you know, for the money that we put in, did we get enough out of it on the back end? That helps you think about maybe the vendor that you use this time, using a different vendor next time, or even just thinking about the process and whether the planning that you put into it in the beginning was sufficient enough to help you get the information that you got on the back end. I think that we all agree that well screenings are a really important tool and that they can really help with prospect identification a lot, and that analytics itself can also help not just identify prospects, but help us identify whether our processes mm-hmm. Were a good return on the investment. So thank you all. I really appreciate Tara, Heather, and Maureen. Thanks so much for your expertise today. If you would like to get any more information about well screenings or about analytics, please visit our blog at www.helenbrowngroup.com and click on the Wealth Screenings category on the right-hand side to get more articles that we've written about wealth screenings and analytics. Or you can always email us at info@helenbrowngroup.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.